Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Java with Josh. I'm your host, legislator Josh Lafazan. Today we have a really exciting show with the founder of the pre-med consultants, Adam Nessam, joining us. As we say every week, having big dreams is common, but figuring out how to achieve those dreams is rare. On this show, we interview some truly incredible people to share their journeys to success and give you the tools to reach your dreams. So grab your cup of Java and let's go. Adam, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good to see you again. Of course.
Well, it's great to see you. And for our listeners who are meeting you for the first time, Adam Nessam is a fourth-year medical student in New York City and the founder of the Pre-Med Consultants, which is an academic consulting company with the mission of providing all-inclusive advising that helps students achieve their dreams regardless of where they're starting from. His passions include medical technology, sports medicine, and entrepreneurship. He's grown his social media following to over 77,000. Full disclosure, I've known Adam since high school. He was always the incredible guy he is now, always going out of his way to help people, always wanting to make a difference. So it's really great to see all of your success. My first question to you is, you know, what is the Pre-Med Consultants?
First off, I appreciate the kind intro to get into it. So the Pre-Med Consultants is a company I founded actually in my first year of medical school. Really, the goal is to provide all-inclusive advising to students and support them through their entire journey for those that have aspirations of becoming a doctor and getting into medical school. I know you were at Cornell with me for a brief stint, and so, you know, like at Cornell, we had really good resources in regard to, like, I was in a pre-med club where I had lots of older peers and mentors that were able to help me through the journey. But there's a lot of students out there across the country that don't have that same type of advising, mentorship. And a lot of the students that are struggling early on in the process, because there's really not much guidance. Pre-med is really hard. And if you're not prepared for it, it can be a struggle. And so what I realized was there needs to be something that can help students earlier on in the process. So traditionally within like the academic consulting or test prep industry, which I used to work for, like one of the major test prep companies, it's just like usually a course to prepare you for whatever the exam is that you have to get into. So whether it's an MCAT course, a DAT course for students that are going to dental school, like the GRE, the GMAT, all those post-grad or tests you need to get into grad school. It's usually you take a course then, and then you maybe even either do admissions on your own with writing the essays and stuff, or maybe pay another cert or the same company or another company to get your essays edited and all that stuff. I know you went to grad school. I'm sure you're familiar with school process.
I don't miss that process.
but basically I was like, there's gotta be a better way where, and I decided that noticed that I really enjoy working with students for the long term. So I really enjoy that mentorship-mentee relationship and seeing students flourish over maybe the course of multiple years, not just teaching them for an 8-week course, which I used to do, and then never talking to them again unless they email me or something a year down the line. And they're like, oh, hey, just wanted to let you know I got into med school. That was like what it used to be. So now I created the Pre-Med Consultants where we work with students literally from, it could be their first day of college. Once you sign up, you're a student for life, all the way through to, I don't care if it's 4 or 5 years later, until they get that medical school acceptance. And anything you need, we provide for you. So whether that's help with your classes, help figuring out the right extracurriculars, getting shadowing, actually preparing for the MCAT using methods I wish I knew when I was a pre-med student, because once I got to medical school, I realized I didn't know anything about how to really be productive. As much as I thought I did well at Cornell and was able to figure my stuff out, going to medical school and learning even more effective study strategies to excel as a student, and always realizing you always think you know stuff, and then you get to that next level and you realize you don't. I was able to bring a lot of what I learned there and bring it to pre-med students early on of what I wish I knew when I was in their shoes. So that's kind of a broad overview of what we do.
And here's what's interesting is, you know, we talk on the show about, you know, just start. You know, so many young entrepreneurs on the show have said, just start. You have an idea, just start. What was the moment? Like, you know, I see the pre-med consultant shirt. I see all the merch. Like, you've created something great, but there was a moment where you decided you were going to start. Like, what was that moment? And the reason why I ask is because right now somebody listening could have an idea to create an app. So you don't just create the app in 24 hours. Like, you have to start somewhere. Like, what was the moment for you that you just said, I'm going to do this?
Yeah. Great question. So I remember I was coming back from a drive actually from Cornell. It was a long drive back. I was listening to, I think it was a Gary Vee podcast. At the time, I still worked for this former test prep company. And it was like a safe position. I was making some money, but I really had that like entrepreneurial itch. And I knew like this was like brewing in my head. Like, am I going to take a risk, go off on my own and start something? And there was kind of that moment where I was like, I said to myself, if I don't do it now, if I don't just pull the trigger, I'm never going to do it. And so I got back from this 4-hour car ride. I remember I think I spoke to my parents briefly. I was like, should I quit this job? Like, and at the time I really had no clue how to start a business. Didn't know. I was like, I knew a little bit, but I didn't know what I was doing. And I was like, but I just have a vision where I feel like there could be a better way. And I was like, if no one else is going to do it, why can't it be me? That's kind of one of the things I like to say is like, why not you? I tell my students, or like, why not me when I'm talking to myself? And so that afternoon, I think I wrote an email, gave like notice, and then was on my way.
And it's funny, I love that. And so each guest that comes on gives me a soundbite. Jake Asman, you know, who's a friend of ours, you know, is an ESPN radio personality. We said it the other day. It's one thing, you know, for example, he's in sports radio. So if your father is Derek Jeter, it's very easy to break into sports. Similarly, if you were Adam Fauci and your dad was Dr. Fauci, or your grandpa, it's very easy to break into medicine. But, you know, but if not, then why not you? Because, you know, again, if you're born into an aristocratic family, you know, life is easy, but not everyone had that easy street. You know, people made it themselves. So if they could do it, why couldn't you? And I said the same thing, you know, when I ran for office. And I want to switch gears because so many of our young listeners are in high school or in college and they're not totally enamored with their studying. What's it like to be in med school? And can you bring us inside the walls of med school to tell us what it's like?
Yeah, so the analogy they give is it's like trying to drink water from a fire hose. So the amount of information that you have to learn at a rapid pace in med school is unlike anything else. Like undergrad, it makes undergrad, I think like a whole semester of bio and undergrad we're doing in the first 2 weeks, that like level of information in medical school. So to that end, it's a lot. At the same time, for example, a lot of medical schools are pass-fail. And so that, not all, but a lot, alleviates the pressure of feeling like that high stakes environment of you always have to be better than your peers. And not that you should be feeling like that in high school or undergrad, I just know it happens the way the nature of the game is played. And so while there's a lot of stuff that's hard about medical school, I think there's also areas where you are able to find balance and you can succeed and it doesn't have to be like this complete burnout experience. So for me, I've really, really enjoyed going to medical school. I go to Albert Einstein, which is in the Bronx, for I don't know if it was mentioned previously. And I'd say my first 2 years was a lot of fun, a lot of hard work, but also really a great experience because you're finally learning the stuff that you've been wanting to learn. So especially like pre-meds can relate to this. If anyone is interested in going into healthcare that's listening to this, even if it's not to be a doctor, maybe PA or whatever, a lot of the classes you're taking in undergrad, the organic chemistries, general chemistries, that's not really medicine. It's the prereqs you need, and you'll see down the line why it's important that you took those early on. But it's not as fulfilling, at least in my opinion, as when you get to medical school and now you're learning pathophysiology, anatomy, and this is the stuff that you're going to use to actually treat patients one day and be able to hopefully save lives. So it's a very surreal experience. It's a really exciting experience and also definitely a hard experience that you have to make sure that you're ready for.
It's amazing to hear that. I love that, you know, drinking from a fire hose. But the truth is, anything you kind of get thrown into, you know, a lot of times you're up to the challenge. And speaking of challenges, COVID-19 hit. You were already in med school. What has it been like to be in med school during COVID-19 and honestly to be in healthcare during COVID-19?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I'm in a little bit of a unique situation because I think in the intro you said I'm a fourth year. I'm technically a fourth year medical student, but I'm actually in this gap year in between my third and fourth year of med school.
Sure.
So I'll end up doing medical school in 5 years. A lot of students, I wouldn't say a lot, but it's becoming more common, especially for students that are interested in a potentially competitive specialty, like orthopedics, dermatology, plastic surgery, stuff like that. Or even if you just want to do more research and be research focused, you can take a research year. So I wasn't actually on the floor of the hospital treating COVID patients. I was finishing my family medicine rotation in the Bronx when this whole thing started. And so that's very much like frontline. Like those are the patients that are coming in with, at the time it was, are these starting to be COVID symptoms? Or is it flu still? Or is it like just normal cold? Now we're not sure, there's no protocols in place. So that was like a very hectic kind of nerve wracking time. No one really knew what to do. Guidelines weren't out yet. So I would say that was difficult, but I have to give so much credit to my peers and anyone else that's actually on the front lines in healthcare right now, because they're the real warriors. I kind of haven't been doing as much, as because it so happened that I was already planning to take this research year and whatnot, but there was a lot of adaptation that had to take place, just like for undergrad, for really anyone in the world right now, where classes had to go online. A lot of the rotations we were doing had to somehow be the learning part half online. Some people were going in person. Some people were like doing online virtual visits, like med students seeing patients virtually. So there was just so much, I guess, almost chaos, and to have to organize that, and for my medical school to keep a medical education curriculum going, they did a really good job. But it was definitely a lot of not knowing what's next and just kind of having to roll with the punches, which I'd say is how it's been for most people, regardless of what field you're in right now.
Listen, for sure. I mean, people do, you know, making trades on Wall Street, you know, in their pajamas in their basement, right? You know, people yeah, exactly. all had to adjust. But case in point, our healthcare workers are the heroes of this moment. And quite frankly, have just gone above and beyond their call to duty. And it's interesting because so many young people I speak to are now considering going into healthcare from this crisis, seeing the heroism. Mm-hmm. So, what is your advice? To you're a young person. You think you want to, you know, be a doctor. You know, obviously you don't have to just go. You know, if you're 16 or you're 20 or you're 25, like you can, you don't have to intern tomorrow. Like there are steps you can do now. Mm-hmm. Like, what would you say is your advice to people who want to be a doctor? I mean, should they be researching? Should they be, you know, looking at what field they want to go into? What do you think?
Sure. So, and you're totally right on that statistic. Actually, there has been an increase rise in applications that actually just came out. A lot of times during periods of uncertainty or economic recession, there's always a rise in applications to go to medical school. But also I think a lot is students seeing, you know, how vital of a role that is in society right now, and are willing to step up to the challenge. And that could be like a student that's as young as 16 in high school, or there are a lot of students that I work with personally that are 24, 25 who want to go back and switch careers. So you can do it regardless of where you're at and whatever stage of life you're in. What I would say the first step is to really do your research and homework of what the field entails. A lot of people get into medicine with, I think, this idealistic expectation of what the field is, because now it's, you know, the doctors on the front lines, the nurses, they are seen as the heroes of society right now. But at the same time, it's hard work. A lot of times you're not appreciated. And so it's important to know that you're getting into it for the right reasons and that you actually understand what the career entails. So I try to tell people to always do as much shadowing as they can with physicians. Right now, it's a little bit harder to do that logistically because just guidelines with having students come and observe right now with COVID is harder. So there's a lot of virtual shadowing events you can attend. So I would recommend, if you just want to take the first steps, try looking into some virtual shadowing events, as well as just looking at, all right, what does it actually take to be a doctor? You have to get your pre-med recs in, then the MCAT applications. What would this all look like for me? And then from there, take that first class and see, all right, is this something that you think you can handle? If it's bio, chem, whatever. And then if it's not, but you're still super passionate about it, that doesn't mean give up. Because this is one thing I also see. A lot of people give up on their dreams of becoming a doctor because they can handle intro biology or organic chemistry. But you can improve and do better in school. Studying and learning effectively is actually a skill and something I don't think is ever really taught in our education system, like how to actually study well. And that's one of the things we teach in our program. So if you take those first steps, you realize what you want to do, and then you realize you're struggling in class, don't give up. See, keep going through, keep studying hard, and look for different ways to improve. Some things we teach in our programs, things like spaced repetition, active recall. If you want more info on that, you could Google that and see like what these study techniques entail. But yeah, you can do it, and those are some good first steps.
I got to tell you, so much good advice. I'm not surprised, because obviously, you know, you do this for a living here, but not to give up in terms of, you know, I went to grad school, and I've seen people go to grad school and not graduate because, you know, for example, they go to grad school and work on the dissertation, and the dissertation is too hard, and they don't stick it through. Like, having that long-term vision to say, I know what I want to accomplish. I know how difficult it is to get there. What can make my route most effective to get there, and why am I getting there? I think is really important. And the truth is, that applies to you building your brand on social. You know, I want to talk about this because, you know, brand building is such a term that we see thrown out there, but it's really important to build your brand. And you, I mean, you have over 77,000 followers on social media. How did you grow your social media following so big? And how did you grow this brand so big?
Well, I don't know if you knew this, but surprisingly, my TikTok is what actually blew up even more.
I did not know that.
So we're verified on TikTok, and we're at like 110 or 20 right now. The growth on there has been staggering, and also allowed me to reach a younger audience and teach them these types of things that I'm talking about with studying well and working hard. And so that's been cool and interesting. And I know there's the whole thing with TikTok and the political aspect and security aspect. I won't comment on that, but that's been interesting in terms of brand growth as well. But I'll take you back to the beginning for how I grew my brand. So when I was starting, I was never really on social media or like knew what a personal brand was 3-4 years ago. And then when I decided I'm gonna quit and start my own company after I waited for my non-compete to expire, just throwing it out there. I was looking into it. I'm like, all right, what do I have to do to, and then I realized no one knows who I am. Why is anyone going to work with me? How can I help students or reach students? And being on Instagram at the time especially was like the must for anyone trying to start a business, especially one where you have to like get your name out there. So I made this account. I didn't even call it my name at the time. It was called All Things Healthcare. I just chose the name because I was like, oh, I studied nutrition in college, I like health policy, I'm in medical school, like all things healthcare, random name. And then it started, I was like behind the scenes, I would story myself, but no one really knew I had this account. Then it started to pick up steam just from pure grit. Like if you wanna start a brand on social now, unless you have like some weird viral moment, you need to be like working at it and be consistent with it. Now I'm finding I even need a team to help me with it because it's just becoming so much work. But I definitely put in that initial grind just by myself to get it off the ground. And then once I filed the company as the pre-med consultants, my lawyer, he was like, I remember because at first the Instagram was All Things Healthcare. So I was like, oh, the company will be called All Things Healthcare. He's like, that doesn't make sense. No one's going to know what that means. Like, what do you do? And I was like, oh, I consult pre-med students. So we filed it as the pre-med consultants. And then I was like, all right, should I make the Instagram account that? Or should I just make it a personal brand and just put it as Adam Nessum and then see what else happens from there? So I was like, you know what? I think it's time. Like I've already seen the value that having a personal brand and being out there can bring. So I changed it to Adam Nessum. And then from there on, like the amount of opportunities that has presented itself besides just me starting a company, like that was the whole reason for it. But now just having the personal brand, I mean, every time like I'm trying to network with someone or reach out to someone, they kind of have an inside look into like who I am as a person, and it's allowed me to make connections I don't think I otherwise would have been able to do. So I'd say definitely important, obviously takes a lot of work and grit to get yourself out there to like, you know, like you said, thousands of followers and stuff like that. But also I'd say don't worry too much about the follower count when you start, because it's just a number. If you have a bunch of followers that don't care about you or don't trust you, that's meaningless anyway.
And that's great advice. My brother often talks about, you know, starting his company. You know, they have tens of thousands of followers, and you know, Jesse K has 100,000 downloads. He had 50, you know, 50 really passionate acolytes. The truth is, when you have 50 to 100 passionate people, they're going to help you get from, because you know, you go from 50 to 1,000 really slow, but you go from 1,000 to 10,000 really fast.
That's exactly right.
But you have confidence in you, and this is something you've always had, and you were an athlete, whether it's on the ball field or in the classroom. How do you just maintain the confidence you have in yourself to bet on yourself? And this is something we talk about in terms of young people saying, you know, I whether they have inferiority complex, which I deal with, or we all deal with, or I don't know if I can get from point A to point C. How do you just continue to believe in yourself? Do you rely on others? You know, do you meditate? What is it?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think the first thing before I was able to like have the confidence to do whatever I wanted to do was first, and I guess this is something everyone always struggles with, and I do much less now, but was deciding that I don't care what other people think of me. Before, because when you're always worried about what other people are thinking about you, it's very hard to then believe in yourself and say, all right, I know I'm going to do this. So when I took a leap to start a business, or when I do things like academically and whatnot, I kind of just know that, one, because I work hard in general, I usually have that as a fallback. I'm like, I don't have to be the smartest person. And I'm not. I'm like not, even though I do all this academic advising and I had a 4.0 at Cornell or whatever it was, I'm really not like super high IQ or anything like that. I just knew that I could always fall back on hard work if all else failed and I wasn't good at things, right? So no, I think if you first are willing to put in the work, and secondly, you realize that what other people think of you, as long as you know you have pure intentions and are in things for the right reasons, doesn't matter, then it's a lot easier to just be confident and move forward and believe in yourself. I would say that in terms of like routine, I like habits and routines, and that helps me. I don't have any type of like meditative or like stress reduction routines that I do that really help me. I know that helps a lot of people. For me, when I'm structured and working hard and I'm in like a rhythm, that's what, for me, that's like the least, that's when I'm feeling the least stressed.
I couldn't agree more. I'm sitting here laughing because COVID threw such a wrench in people's routines, where, you know, it's hard, where, you know, you're working at home, you know, you have a meeting at 9 o'clock, you know, you're used to getting up at six, or getting up at 6:30, showering, having breakfast, kind of getting in that rhythm. So I can relate to that so much. What's interesting about you too, is you really are tenacious in terms of identifying, and this is important too, you know, goals are important because it identifies where you're going and it helps guide you. I don't see you as being short of having professional goals. Where can we expect to see you in 10 years? I know it's a tough question to answer, but where can we expect to see you?
Sure. So it turns out I absolutely fell in love with entrepreneurship just as much as I knew I really wanted to go into medicine. And I think also that goes to a point of like not feeling like you have to have an identity wrapped in one thing. Because for example, I was never like the business person of the family. That was going to be my brother and I was going to be the medical person. And it turned out that I actually really like business and entrepreneurship. And I eventually realized I don't have to pigeonhole myself to just the science kid or whatever it is. So just kind of like a side tangent of anyone who like feels like they have to be one thing. You could always taste and try different things and you never know what might happen. So with that said, I think in 10 years from now, at the current rate things are going, I'll continue having the pre-med consultants. We'll probably continue to just improve on the program, and we're expanding to other graduate level programs, which would include like dental. We already have a dental program that's going great. PA, other like healthcare graduate programs, and then we'll see where that goes as well. I also want to like, I have a couple ideas with in terms of bringing the techniques that a lot of medical students use to study more mainstream with like, I don't know if you ever heard of Anki flashcards, but it's like this app that almost every med student has at least used at some point that allows you to do spaced repetition, and just it boosts your memory like fivefold. It's amazing. And so I'm like, I look at other areas and even students in undergrad, I'm like, I don't see this. So there are things that I want to like try and get to in that area. So I'll keep the business side. Hopefully we'll do some investing and whatnot, and we'll see where that goes. And then on the medicine side, I do at the moment, my passion is sports medicine. I'm not sure exactly what that'll look like and which way I'm going to get there, but I'd like to realistically have my own practice where I employ like physical therapists. We have a team of physicians. We may even bring in other things like, let's say, massage therapists, occupational therapists, really so we get this like 360 degree view on health when we're treating athletes and people with sports injuries, like a vision I have. So we'll see how that goes and where the journey takes me. But it's hard to think always so far down the line.
100%, but it's neat to know that whatever you do, you know, we have no doubt that you're going to be successful in it. And, you know, it really brings me to my last question, which is that, and it's important because so many of our guests have learned so much along their professional journeys, their personal journeys, that we're all the beneficiaries from learning from that advice. So what would be the biggest piece of advice that you would give to your younger self? So if I asked you right now, you have Adam, 10, 15, 20, whatever your younger self is, what is the biggest piece of advice you would give young Adam?
So first it would be not to box yourself in, which I kind of already alluded to, because I think I didn't explore as much as I may have in undergrad, high school, even just like throughout my life, because I used to have a very, I wouldn't say fixed mindset. Like, I don't know if you've read, I think it's Carol Dweck. She wrote a book on like growth mindset versus fixed. But I used to kind of put myself in a hole, like I'm the science person type of thing. So I think being more open-minded earlier on, I think would have been interesting to see where my path led. Kind of like you, the way, I mean, you were, I feel like, one of the pioneers of, I'm going to take an unconventional route in this world. And you were doing something that no one else was doing at the time, which I'm sure our listeners know about, running for office at 18, not planning to go to, you know, a four-year university right away where everyone else in Syosset had to be doing that. So
that's right.
I think more students do, and people willing to do things and take risks, is something that I would have preached to myself a little bit earlier on.
It's funny you mentioned that because, you know, quite frankly, I spoke about this in my TED talk. When you take an unconventional route, people just cannot handle it. Like, they can't handle it.
You're right.
And they're projecting their own insecurities onto you. And when I ran for office, I talked about the senior citizens in my community backed me. It was the young people who said, you're crazy. You know, you're pursuing this is a quote, the worst life plan ever. Never forget that. Like, you know, it was the young people who said, don't do it. And I imagine too, for you, what has been so liberating is that you no longer let the opinions or, quite frankly, the detractors 100%. Control you.
100%.
And you never do. And it's so inspiring. And quite frankly, we have no doubt in your ability to continue to make a difference in people's lives. We know you're going to have an amazing career, whatever career, you know, and wherever it takes you, we have no idea.
Right now, it feels like it's changing every other day, but we'll see.
Which is a good thing, because at the end of the day, we all have, you know, God-given gifts and talents that we should be using to make a difference for others. But Adam, from the bottom of our hearts here at Java with Josh, thanks so much for coming on our show. And we hope to have you on again soon.
I appreciate it, Josh. Great to see you as always. Look forward to seeing you higher and higher in office if that's your goal or whatever it ends up being.
Thanks so much. Take care, man.
All right, you too.
Thanks so much for tuning in, and thank you to Adam Nessem for an amazing conversation. Make sure to click subscribe to our podcast and check us out on Instagram and Facebook for videos and bonus features. I'd also love to hear your questions and comments. Feel free to shoot me an email at josh@joshlafazan.com. I'm legislator Josh Lafazan, and thanks for joining us for Java with Josh.